Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 23rd, 2017. Since the world is in turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, make this choice tonight. If you haven't already made this choice, you need to make it tonight, because anything could happen to you, or anything could happen in this country or the world for that matter. You could walk out. If you live in America, you could get run over by a car. You could get struck by cancer in any country. Same way with a car. A tornado could hit you. Anything could happen. And once that happens, it's too late to have a relationship. So you need to get right now before it's too late. So, folks, please get right now. And if you need help in a prayer or something, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And the phone number, my phone number in case of emergency is 316-619-4886. Well, I hope I'm coming through to you clear tonight, because I have some special things to talk to you about. But you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. Anyway, thanks to the producer for letting me know that I'm sound good tonight. So I hope so, because I'm always self-conscious about the way I sound, but that's just me. Anyway, remember, prayer requests can also be sent by the United States Postal Service and email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back at your request with no solicitations for donations. Now, this is a prophetic thing that we do. We pray on it, send it back to you. Trust me, one of these days I'll get the story out and tell you about that. But I have another story for you tonight. Anyway, we have a prayer request form on the right-hand side of the Messiah's Branch and Prophecy Hour pages. So go over there, and if you need to use that form. Remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, and YouTube, and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free. And by the way, we have been so slow this month, we have not, don't tell anybody, we haven't paid our airtime yet, and I really need to come up with that money pretty quickly, as the people at the station need to eat their, need to pay their bills too. Anyway, on another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like the United Arab Emirates, New Zealand, Colombia, Australia, Sydney, Australia, Jerusalem, Israel, Bucharest, Romania, Moscow, Russia, and, of course, places in the good old USA like Washington, D.C. That one really fascinates me. Why people in Washington, D.C. listen to this to me, I don't know. It's not like I'm a big conspiracy nut like some of the other people out there, but anyway, Stockton, California, Corpus Christi, Texas, Buffalo, New York, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, my close neighbor, Atlanta, Georgia, and as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they podcast later on tonight. Now, prayer, and we'll get on with the program. Your Heavenly Father in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, I just ask that, that what I'm going to tell them tonight, that you give people ears in which to hear them, to hear the truth, to understand the truth, and to get a better understanding about the work that we do and about what you have us do, which is both one and the same, Father. So in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. And amen and amen. Well, folks, it is on my heart to speak with you today before I go any further with this radio program, meaning before I go even with the next program tonight. I felt like there's some things I had to tell you about me. And, of course, being here in the Flint Hills, I'm sure you folks always hear our wonderful train. Anyway, you see, some of you do not know me except that I'm just some pastor that takes care of homeless people. That's kind of what people see. Oh, he's just a guy on the radio. He just takes care of homeless people. So really, why should you listen to me, a guy whose ministry is just to care for the poor? Well, what you think about that, part of that reason lies in this song and where my faith is at. So let's play this song and we'll come back and talk. Yes, he came to set the captives free. I was a captive. Didn't really realize I was a slave to sin. But yes, over 28 years ago, I was a one percenter, a biker who did not follow anyone's laws. I just did what I wanted to do. all of a sudden thinking that I wasn't really that bad a guy after all. In the third grade, I'd went up and gave my life to Jesus, you know, at the altar car. So I thought I was saved, I guess. And I prayed, though, all that time that I, all of my life I prayed. But, you know, I just did the things I wanted to do, and I didn't even, I hadn't even really read the Bible or any of that. And I, but I really was not that bad a guy. And through, at least I didn't think I was. And at one point, you know, at one point when I was on the run from the police, and I had to wholly read the Bible cover to cover. And that was a very long time ago. That was probably when I was like 21 or 22. That's when I first read the Bible cover to cover. But anyway, while I was in the world, over 28 years ago, you know, I could have joined a local chapter of a national criminal one percenter outlaw club, the worst of the worst, or best, however you look at it, but I did not want to even follow their laws. I mean, that's how bad I was. I didn't want to follow, I didn't want anybody telling me what to do, and that's a spirit of rebellion, you know, and so I had that spirit of rebellion on me. But I did not want to even follow their laws. I was just content being a friend of the club, as they call it. And one of my best friends was the president, or rather senior member, so that gave me some status. And so I, while I could run around with the club and sometimes go on a run if I was invited, which pretty much was, then, you know, I could do whatever I wanted to do without following anybody's rules, and let alone I didn't care about the normal laws. Well, one day I looked up in a mirror and I saw who I really was. I was backing out of the driveway in my car to get, go pick up my motorcycle, and I adjusted the mirror and I got my face in the mirror and I saw somebody that I did not recognize. I thought, really, you know, who is this? Or, but I was just shocked. And then I remembered back earlier, before I became what I was, that I never wanted to be the type of outlaw, the bad person that I was. And so I cried out. And, you know, I know that I started immediately communicating with the Holy Spirit. And so I cried out to Yeshua, whom I'd prayed to since the third grade. And I saw, I knew then, I made a commitment to start coming out of life, to turn away from sin. Well, just as soon as I did that, the devil didn't like it. And, you know, before that, I was basically untouchable. Well, lo and behold, I got busted, you know. And I think that was the devil not trying to lose me, because he didn't want, if he did not want me to go on to become this person that I am. You know, he did not want me to be a good person. And so I got busted. I almost went to prison for 25 years, you know, but I called out to the Father and I said, please, please believe me, Father, if you would just let me raise my family, you know, in fact, my daughter was only 2 days old and I already had a son that was about a little over a year old. I said, if you let me stay home with my children, I told the judge, or I told the Father, I said, if you let me stay home with my children all the time that I have, after taking care of my family, of course, is yours. I commit myself to following you and doing your work, whatever that consisted of being. So basically, I got the judge gave me a probation and a great big threat, and less than 3 years on probation, I got kicked off of probation. The Father miraculously gave me this house in the Flint Hills that I got for back taxes. My family had a home. I even had a vision of this city as I came into it the night before I came and found it. I was in a dream vision, and I was up in the air, and I knew there was a presence with me, and we were looking down, and I said, is this, and I was looking down on this city, and I said, is this Kansas? And the voice said, yes, this is Kansas. So the next day when we drove up here, I recognized it most assuredly. And that was just one of the dream visions that I've had all my life. My first dream vision that I can ever remember, I was young. I was in my early teens, 13, 14, 15, maybe close to 15. And I woke up and I was sitting on the edge of the bed and it was all kind of like cloudy around me, but there was these beings around me that I partook to be angels, and they were protecting me. There were people all outside my windows, banging on the windows and the walls, trying to get in, and the door trying to get in. But I was encompassed by this group of angels that was there with me. And then I woke up Now, I mean, to a 13, 14, 15-year-old, that's what I'm saying, my memory's kind of faded. I think I was about 15, basically. You just, you know, you don't really put a lot of stock in those kind of things. But anyway, so I've had many dreams and visions and things, but we won't go into that. Let's go on with the progression. So I was called out of the world. You know, that's what believers are. They're called out. If you look up the word church, you'll find it means group of a group of believers. And that's what it is, the ecclesia. And so the ecclesia, that's what I'm called out. We're all called out. If we're called out, we're part of the ecclesia. We're the called out ones. So I committed to the Father if he would keep me home again and not go to jail and raise my family. All of my time, other than, of course, raising my family, would belong to him. So tonight I'm going to try and give you some of the things to let you know just who I am. And by the way, I am nothing without Yeshua HaMashiach. You know, I moved out of Wichita to the Flint Hills in order to get away from my biker brothers and the lifestyle. That I knew I had to have a change. If I stayed there, they would have drew me into more trouble. I intensely studied the Bible and even did a few courses that led me to being ordained by a couple of ministries. But to me, those ordinations really mean nothing because they are a man. I was called out and sent forth by the Father to do what I do. And so I will talk about that. After attending a whole handful of churches, of course, my wife is along with me on all of this, of course, and she prayed and prayed and prayed to get me out of the world. That was one of the reasons that I believe that I had the vision. She got pregnant with our first son, which helped us get out of the world, but she was not even supposed to be able to have children. The doctor told her she'd have to have an operation first, so that was miraculous. We came out miraculously. After attending a whole handful of churches, trying to find the one that lined up with the Bible, I simply couldn't do it. Then we did spend about a year in a charismatic church because I figured that was the place that I was supposed to be, was in church. And until sitting there in the assembly at one service when the pastor's wife got up to speak for the first time and teach, I heard it in my spirit, get out, get out, get out. We never went back after that. I believe that I was called out of the church. And so for a few years, then after that, you know, we did different things to serve the Father, you know, like sending Bibles in the mail and giving out cases of Bibles and just kind of stumbling out around without no real direction. And then one night, I remember afternoon, I was laying on the bed and I heard in my spirit, I heard, he said, "You're my minister." And I went, "What?" And he says, "You're my minister." It was clear as day. And I don't know if anybody else could have heard it, but I heard it. And I said, "Well, what does that mean, Father?" You know, I knew who it was talking to me. I knew who was talking to me. And I thought I was in trouble, but he says, "You're my minister." And then I remembered, it was brought to my mind, the deal that I made with him, that I would work for him, that I would do what I need, whatever he wanted me to do. And so I prayed then that, do I need to cut my hair off, what I have left, yuck yuck, but cut my hair off? Do I need to dress different? Do I need to wear a suit and tie? What do I need to do? And he said he had use of me as I was. Well, I didn't hear from him again for a while, other than, you know, the spiritual things that you hear from, but not that kind of a voice. And then shortly thereafter, my sister brought me a newsletter, which was from the Prophecy Club. And they had just started up, and this is around 93, 94. And so it was a neat thing about prophetic meetings where they talked about the end times. And so I went to one of those meetings, and it was in Topeka. It was about their third meeting. And I started at the Prophecy Club meeting. I prayed about helping Stan Johnson, but there were things I didn't agree with him on. And then I heard there was that unction again. Well, if you help Stan, that's what you need to do. Just don't worry about Stan. Leave Stan to me. And so I started helping the Prophecy Club. Through that, I started a newsletter. I helped at the meeting, setting up tables and watching the door and so on and so forth. But I met a huge group of people, which today, by giving them my newsletter and meeting all these speakers, this is all a path that led to radio, that led me to doing radio and to doing what I do. So I started helping the Prophecy Club, and there was many, many meetings, seminars, as they called them. There'd be one in Wichita, Salina, Topeka, Kansas, and I would go to all these, and I would work for Stan, volunteer for the Prophecy Club, and the benefit that I was getting was getting to meet a lot of spiritual people and a lot of people that were interested in the end times, because that's what the meetings were all about, the end times. And so I also started to grow, because I've always been a researcher, and so I started researching some of the facts of some of these guys, and truthfully, that's when I saw, like, the United Nations thing come about the first time, the green list, the blue list, and all those different things, which later, well, we won't go into those in depth right now, but so I learned to be a researcher, but I made a lot of contacts also. I made a lot of contacts. And then one time, they had a thing called a pastors, prophets, and apostles meeting. And Stan asked me, said, "Are you going to go to that?" And I said, "Well, why should I go to it?" And he said, "Well, I believe you're called to be a," and I won't say what I was called to be, because that's a man thing. Anyway, but I said, "Okay, I'll come and help." Well, at that meeting, I got practically a whole bottle of oil dumped on me. It's Stan and this Messianic minister, first time I ever saw a Messianic minister, Messianic Jewish minister, were anointing people with oil, praying over them for their anointings to come forward. Well, say what you want or do what you want, but right after that occurred, I started hearing from the Father a lot clearer. Things became clearer to me, and the voice seemed to be clearer to me, and I started getting more direction. And we'll get into that direction when we get back, because we're going to go to a break. But before we go to a break, I want to remind you that our website is prophecyhour.com. Go over there and check it out. There's a lot of news and stuff there, but it's a hub for all our ministries. Or you can go to WichitaHomeless.com. At WichitaHomeless.com, now while it's under new construction, it's still got a lot of good things there. It's all about the Wichita Mission Church and what we've been doing. Now, this is our 18th year for doing this, and, you know, I came into this by faith doing it and with no money, because, you know, consider the people that we take care of. We'll have to come back to that, because we'll be back in, 3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, all I'm going to say at this part of the program, because I really want to get back into what I'm talking to you, because I am talking to you about the Mission Church, so I don't really believe that I need to give you all this about the Mission Church. So just pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Remember, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. Now, radio is going through some transitional things that you're going to be surprised with, but I've got to get ahead of the normal bills and get caught up in order to get this accomplished. I hope to have that done soon, because I've just heard that people are starting to get their income tax checked back. Usually it bails us out. I pray that it does, because, you know, I even started a GoFundMe page, and that didn't work out very well. But anyway, point is we're going to be here, and we're going to be here for you, and we're going to bring you some really important information. So pray about supporting airtime. And back in this time slot, first program, we are going to become, we're going back to our Mission Watch format. We'll still have Prophecy Hour. Of course, we'll never get rid of Prophecy Hour, but Prophecy Hour is going to be down to one program, and Mission Watch, where we can cover a lot of other subjects. And but I do believe everything, the air that you breathe, the ground that you walk on, everything is related to Bible prophecy. But anyway, so stay tuned. We're going to have some good things. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and Airtime tonight if you can. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And if you folks are worried about whether or not you can get a tax deduction because we are in unincorporated church. Well, even PayPal recognizes us as an unincorporated church. And so if you want to donate through their charity place, let me know and I can send you a link and they'll send you a tax receipt of all things. But anyway, I'd rather you just email me direct to prophecyhour.com. And for PayPal, all you have to do is use my email address, which is elcm@messiahsbranch.org. Anyway, get a hold of me. Now then, let's get back to this. I'm trying to tell you a story. Okay, where was I at? Let's see. Okay, Prophecy Club. So it was anointed with oil, you know? And right after that, I started hearing clear and clear from the Father. You know, when I first come out of the world, I thought I was going to do this or do that. And so I knew I was supposed to start an assembly in Wichita, Kansas, even though I lived 60 miles from there. I thought that was where my mission was at. And so we started a church in Wichita, or a church assembly in Wichita, Kansas, and I started building it. Messianic, of course, you know, Sabbath keeping, you know, the whole thing. And I got up to about, I had about 26 or 30 people in there, something like that, coming off and on. And, you know, what happened was, is that then one night, it was a Saturday night, and I was laying there trying to go to sleep, and I heard, feed the poor. And I went, what? And I heard, feed the poor. And I went, huh? Feed the poor. Now, I wasn't quite sure. You know, I knew it was this voice, but I didn't know what it meant. And I kept, so I prayed about it. And feed the poor. This kept up all night long. We're now getting into 6 o'clock in the morning. I cannot sleep. And so finally I go and I said, okay, Father, I'll feed the poor. I don't know how you want me to do it or why, where. I can't afford it. I have no money. I'm just building a congregation, barely paid the rent in Wichita, but I'll do it. Just, I'll go commit to it on my prophetic news service list, which is, and by the way, which if you go to Prophecy, or if you go to prophecyhour.com, that's the list that you can find to get on the prophetic news service list, which, you know, right now we're sending, you know, everything important, breaking news and so on. Just go over there and look. I don't want to take up time talking about that. But anyway, so I went out there and I put on the list that what I was going to be doing, and then I would be going over on Tuesday, which is my normal day, but go to Wichita. Went every Tuesday, every Friday, I'd go to Wichita on Tuesday and try and figure it out. Well, I went to Wichita. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even know where to look. And so I made a bunch of phone calls around trying to find out where the homeless was at in Wichita. I figured it'd be an easy thing. Well, finally, I called the Union Rescue Mission, and they were just down the street off of Douglas in Wichita, Douglas and St. Francis Street. And what happened, I got a hold of them, and I said, hey, you know, I told them what I was supposed to be doing and everything, and they just looked kind of like, oh, yeah. And they said, well, hey, wait a minute. There's some women that right down the block here are in the park, and they're feeding the homeless every night. You should go over there and talk to them. So I went on over there and caught up with them, and I stood back and watched. And I noticed these two older women had a soup line going, you know, and feeding everybody. And I waited until they were done, and I watched them even clean up. I know I should offer to help clean up, but I was still just praying and wondering, is this it? And so finally, as they were leaving, I walked up, and the oldest lady, I walked up to her, and I said, I don't know how you're going to take this, but I just need to tell you something. Saturday night, I was trying to go to bed and go to sleep, and I started hearing, feed the poor, feed the poor, feed the poor. Well, I knew that meant Wichita because that's where my ministry's at, but I didn't know how to do it. And so I don't know. I think maybe I'm supposed to help you. And she just gave me a big old hug and said, well, you know, I was up all Saturday night praying for the Father, or she said the Lord would send someone to help us. So that was a confirmation, you know. And so then I helped them the rest of that night. We went under some bridges, and I helped her take some food to some people under the bridges and prayed on one person in the dark I couldn't even see, and I couldn't tell you to this day who it was. But, you know, and prayed on people, and I went home, and I put it down on my news list what I was doing, and I was going to help these women, and we were going to start our ministry. But I kept praying to the Father. I needed a confirmation. Well, the next day, you know, a lot of people are on that prophetic news service list that use it for news, both prophecy news and for regular breaking news, and a lot of ministries. And Steve Quayle, I don't know if he's still on the list, but he used to be. Anyway, the next day, I got up and the answering machine was, you know, blinking, and so I checked the answering machine, and it was Steve Quayle on the answering machine talking about something about a delivery or something, and I was scratching my head about that, and about that time the phone rang. And so I picked up the phone, and I said, hello, and he says, well, this is Steve Quayle, and he says, is this Pastor Dan? Well, actually, he says, is this Dan? I wasn't going by Pastor Dan yet. That was something the homeless put on, pegged on me later on. He says, this is Dan Catlin. And I said, yeah, this is Dan. And he said, well, I read your thing that you put out on the prophetic news service list about helping the poor and helping the women and everything. And he says, I want to donate some food. And can you guys accept a shipment in Florence? And I said, yeah, go ahead, bring it. And he says, he thought about it a minute. He says, I don't think you understand. Do you have a forklift? And I said, what? He said, you have a forklift. I'm going to donate. He ended up donating. It was a semi-load worth of food that added up to over $20,000, his cost. Anyway, so we arranged for Wichita to be delivered to Wichita to the basement where I was had our little church set up at. But anyway, so that was a big confirmation, especially when Steve told me the story. Steve told me the story. He says, I was on my forklift after I had read what you said. I was on my forklift, and I heard the first time I ever heard an audible voice from God. He said, I want you to stick with Dan on this. And he almost blew me off of my forklift. So there we had an audible voice telling Steve Quayle to donate this huge amount of food to start our ministry. And we did indeed start our ministry. And that was back June of 2000. So we're coming up on starting our 18th year. June of 2000, we started that. And so you think, well, you know, you had some help. You had a Messianic group, about 20-some-odd people, 26 to 30. Well, that didn't last. Nobody wanted anything to do with taking care of the poor and the homeless. And so they left almost immediately, which then it became, you know, it was what it always was. It was my family's church and a few others and the people I ministered to, the homeless and poor. They would come to service. And so that's how the mission church got started, you know. And then, you know, I got to tell you about a couple of supernatural experiences right here. And then we'll go back into talking about the mission church. Well, one night, folks, I remember I was sitting on the edge of my I woke up. I'll tell you what, just to set the mood for this one, let's do this song real quick, and then we'll come back, and I want to tell you this story.
I know are here, mentors failing because of fear.
back. And, of course, the Father of the Lord's in control. Amen. He's been in control of my life since I submitted to him, and that's what you've got to do. But anyway, I want to tell you about this experience. I woke up, and I was sitting on the edge of my bed. At least I think I was awake. It was another one of these dream vision things. And all of a sudden, I was being drawn out of my body to the ceiling like I was going away. It was taking my spirit. And I remember screaming out, my children, like, who's going to take care of my children? And I immediately fell back down in my body. My spirit went back to my body. This was not long after we had started the mission church around that time. And then there was another unusual experience that happened, and it was shortly after we had cast this huge demonic thing out of this child. Let's set the stage. My daughter, my house, there's a front room. In the front room, from the front room, there's a hallway-like thing, and it's a kitchen. And my poor wife has been able to navigate that little kitchen. I mean, it's probably 6 foot across or so, you know, not much. It's a hallway. That's her kitchen, current kitchen right now that she still cooks and cleans in, and it does things. Anyway, so I was in the kitchen. My daughter was right outside the doorway of the kitchen, sitting at the dinner table. And I heard this loud pop, cracking noise, like an electrical pop. Have any of you ever seen an electric fireball that when you, like a cable breaks on a high line and it goes pop, and there's a great big electrical ball for just a split second? Well, that was the noise I heard, and that was the ball that I seen. But this ball just didn't pop. It came rushing out of me. All of a sudden, I turned around, and I looked towards the doorway where my daughter was at, and it came just at the speed of, I don't know what, through that doorway, this huge ball of electrical fire, and I ducked. And as I ducked, it just went right through me, and it disappeared at the other end of the hallway. Now, I was scared to death, and I was shaking, and I reached over and grabbed the stove, thinking maybe that did it, but wait a minute, that's a gas stove. And I couldn't figure out what it was, and I looked out, and I saw my young little daughter. And I went over and talked to her. I said, Bootsy, did you happen to see that? Did you see anything? She said, oh, yeah, Daddy, I saw this big ball of fire. And there's a hand of God reaching out trying to get you. And I said, really? Well, you know, I consulted with others about that. And they said it was spiritual warfare, which is probably right, because we had cast this demon out of this young man that was able to throw people around like you wouldn't even believe. But now I want to tell you, and I'm going to tell you another story. And then we'll go back to the mission church. The other story is, when I came out of the world, remember, I was a real bad guy. Well, there was somebody that didn't like me, that tracked me after I left the world. And he came, showed up at my house one day. And I had, now, mind you, people just did not used to mess with me when I was in the world, you know. Very bad guy, so to speak. I don't know how to say it, but that. But anyway, this guy that was equally bad thought I had did something, whatever. Anyway, he came to talk to me and brought him in my house, and I was shocked that he was even there. And he kept trying to egg me into a fight, it seemed like, you know. And I finally told him, I said, hey, you know, I'm not going to fight with you. I don't do that anymore. Just leave my house. And so he started to leave my house, started to go out the front door, and he turned around. And I turned around to walk back in, and he pushed the door open, and he pulled a pistol out and put it up to the back of my head and pulled the trigger. You're sitting here hearing from somebody that, all right, should have been dead. Well, he then ran out the door. He thought he killed me, and he didn't stop until he got to Florida. But my wife said, what was that? Was that a blank? And I said, no, that wasn't a blank. Look. And right on the other side of me, there was a telephone, and the telephone was blown away. It was like the bullet had passed through me and hit the telephone. And luckily, it didn't hit my daughter, which was in a little crib at that time, because this was before the other incident, and she was in the crib in the front room. But I did not have even you know, as close as he was, I should have got powder burns. My ears should have been blown away, whatever, because it was at least a .38 caliber. And nothing was touched on me. But you see, these things happen because I believe that I was under protection because the Father had use of me. Look at all the thousands upon thousands of people that we've helped in now coming up on 18 years. I don't know. I can't tell you how many people have been saved. I can't tell you how many people have had miraculous healings or how many demons that we have cast out. Just like the 12-year-old boy that we had to cast out in the middle of one of the we had to do it in sessions. This child wanted to murder his family, and it was horrendous. He was throwing huge people around the little church that I was helping out. This was before we started the mission church. And he was throwing everybody around, and the demon manifested itself. Even my son saw the demon. And finally, you know, I prayed about what to do. I got on my knees and said, "Father, how can I control it?" And I got up, and I said, "Hold him down." And the several guys held him down, and I got on top of him, and I pointed to one arm, and I said, "I bind that arm by the blood of Yeshua." And I pointed the other arm. I said, "I bind that arm by the blood of Yeshua. You are bound by the blood of Yeshua." And he raised his arms up, trying to get loose. And you could see impressions of chains on his arm where he was chained to the floor, but the chains were invisible. You know, after that, I did cast out that demon. And it even spoke to me. It was one of the weirdest things. I'll spend some time and tell you the whole story sometime in detail. I'll get the notebook out because I got a notebook on it where I wrote everything down. But the Father used me for that. And he's used me on different things like exposing the false prophet stare. And we'll even go into that sometime. But over and over, then I realized that, you know, I realized it's been such a blessing to help the homeless and poor. You know what? Those people appreciate what we do for them. They know that we're different. They know we're called out and set apart. And that's where Yeshua was at, was among the poor and the sinners. And that was the work that he did, healing. He even fed people. And so that's what we're doing. And I'm just trying to serve my master. And all I've asked for in return was to be able to take care of the people and take care of my family. I still live in that old house that I bought for less than $1,500 back taxes. I don't live in a mansion. Well, now we've acquired cheap property on both sides of us, but all of it doesn't even adds up to not very much money at all, because I live in, well, you know, a really run-down place in a little tiny community in the Flint Hills where there's no jobs to speak of. Maybe there's two places you might get a job. You drive about 10 miles over, you might find something. A lot of retirement people here are people that, you know, drive clear to Wichita or other places, cities, to get work. But we drive 60 miles just one way to the Wichita Mission Church. And we drive junk. You know, we've been so faithful in helping those people over there in Wichita that, you know, we've only lost a couple of days because of the snow. You know, I can't tell you how many cars we go through. Every time I get something I like, either a deer gets it or something, you know, it blows up. I have a truck right now I'd like to keep. I already hit one deer with it. I'm afraid if I hit another one, it's not going to be it. I wanted to buy a bumper for it. You know, they've got these ranch bumpers that you can buy, and, you know, you put on them, and it makes it almost indestructible. But those cost $1,000, and I don't have $1,000 to buy a bumper, you know. If I had $1,000 tonight, it would be going for food at the Wichita Mission Church and to pay some of the bills over there that need to be caught up, and radio airtime, you know. And, by the way, while I was on the air here, somebody sent me a donation, so I sent them part of the money. I still need to send them another $60. So thank you. If you're listening to the person that donated some money there, but praise the Father. We're just trying to serve the people. And I've got a great big fear of the Father because I know that he's so real. So I'll never try to mislead you intentionally. And that's why I don't sell anything, because I don't want to be in condemnation. I don't want to get things crossed. People say, well, you can sell this or that, Pastor Dan. And no, I just can't do it. I have to rely on your help, on the Father putting it on your heart and you listening, for donations for this ministry, for the homeless, for the poor, for radio. You know, it costs for both. You know, we have about $5,000 that we have to come up with at least every month in order to keep radio and to do the Wichita Mission Church. And, you know, this December and January, December, now February has been really, really slow. Maybe it's because a lot of prophecy ministries are suffering right now because when Trump got elected, people just said, oh, Trump's elected, it's okay. And also the economy is still bad. He got elected, but the economy's still bad. And so we're just praying about it. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really, really do need your help. If you can help me right now on PayPal, that's great. You know, just pray about it, folks. Pray about it, because I want you to do the right thing, not the wrong thing. And that's what it's all about, is trying to do the right thing, trying your very best to do the right thing. That's what you got to do. You got to have that personal relationship, and you got to try to do the right thing. You know, and doing the right thing means reading your word and being in your word and studying it over and over and over. And I guarantee it will bless you, because you're in a world that seems unblessed. It's so contrary to the Word of God. It's just, it's getting worse and worse all the time, because we are in that time of the end. This is a time before Messiah's glorious return, and I don't mean that lightly. There's so many things that could happen right now, you just wouldn't believe it. But I'm trying to bring that message to you, that message of warning, so that you'll be safe, so that you can love your families, and so that you can help keep your families safe. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You know, again, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, consider a donation for radio airtime. Now, you heard me talk about the Prophecy Club. Well, I'm going to, next program, Prophecy Hour, in an hour from now, I'm bringing Stan Johnson on, the founder of the Prophecy Club. And if you remember when I was talking to Joel Richardson, I talked about Dimitri Dudeman. Well, he's going to tell us about Dimitri Dudeman. But I got to go. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for your repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return, because there will never be peace, real peace, until he does return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.